For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Roofing on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
It's time for Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Zero Res. Book an appointment today with Zero Res, Atlanta's best carpet cleaning service, and by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Let's talk to Grant McCauley, our Braves insider, covers MLB for us. And Grant, let's talk about the weekend. Lots of stuff going on, man. And today, by the way, cards in town. So what did you feel like we did differently or that went right for us in this series against the Twins? Because it felt like the offense came alive and then you got the clutch hitting. I mean, Friday night was electric.
Yeah, and it definitely was. And that was a tone setter and very much a, you know, the kind of win that the Braves could build on. And we thought maybe, perhaps, you saw that in the big win over the Miami Marlins in the home opener. But then they got shut out the next night. But that didn't happen this particular weekend. I just felt like they did some good things in that first game. Yeah, they got a home run from Jared Kelnick. But when they had to put that big inning together, it wasn't sitting back and waiting for someone to hit a three-run bomb. It was walks. It was key hits, clutch hits, pinch hits. I mean, there's just a little bit of everything in that inning that had to make you feel like, okay, these are the Atlanta Braves that we thought we were going to get. This is a lot more like it. And I think that they could and did obviously build off of it, winning another close game on Saturday and then turning around on Sunday and finishing off that sweep, playing a little long ball and getting a pretty good start from Grant Holmes. And the bullpen was fantastic the entire weekend, 12 innings, two runs. That, as they say, will play. So I think it was just a complete series. And yes, the Twins were bad, but guess what? You're supposed to beat bad teams, and the Braves did that.
Everything you just talked about, Grant, every aspect you're looking for to get on a run, to win three in a row, and hopefully get that momentum with Schwellenbach on the bump tonight against the Cardinals. And then, unfortunately, the story that comes out Saturday, you know, we get the Kelnick, you know, admiring his handiwork and getting blown out at second base. And then, obviously, you wish, in hindsight, that Ronald Acuna had just reached out to Snicker at some point and talked, you know, man-to-man about it. He gets frustrated, gets on social media. What is your take on this, and what happens now?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, and obviously it's been the talk around the ballpark, and it for justifiable reasons, I guess, based on what happened, but it's one of those things that I think you could file under, wish we could just not be talking about this at all. And I think that everyone in the situation has a little bit of responsibility and is wrong in their own way. Jared Kelnick was wrong by not running when he hit the ball. That would have obviously been the thing that the Braves needed in that moment. He got thrown out at second base. That was part one. Then after the game, you know, understanding the optics of why the expectation is to run so that plays like that don't happen, Brian Snitker didn't see it, I guess. It was is the ultimate explanation of it. But just saying, like, we're handling that would have probably quieted down a lot of the conversation around it. But then you have the trifecta of all of it, which is, Ronald Acuna Jr. the next day deciding to go to social media. And, you know, I understand it. I'm not saying that he's wrong, but I think there are better ways to do it than throwing a tweet out there that throws your manager under the bus, that shines a bad light on a teammate. I mean, those are things you need to handle, I feel like, in-house. And that obviously didn't happen. Now, somebody or some bodies may have reached out to Ronald and said, hey, you know, what's the deal with this? And he decided to delete it. I think, you know, man to man, if you're going to say something, then stand on it and say it. But there are ways to do it. And that ultimately was the regrettable part of all of this, because it takes away, you know, or creates a dynamic that, look, this isn't going to just go away. These questions are going to come up again when Ronald goes down on his rehab assignment and comes back. And now, instead of being able to be, you know, 100% excited about it, you got this little black cloud off in the distance that you're going to have to deal with again. So I know that's a long answer. It's a lot of stuff, right. But there's been a lot of talk about it. I didn't, you know, talk to any particular Braves about it today. The locker room was, you know, pretty quiet for the most part, but it's just one of those things that you kind of look at everyone and they kind of all bear a certain amount of responsibility for it. For Snit, you know, him not seeing it is one thing, and I kind of understand it. There's a lot going on, but for no coaches to say anything either, for nobody to really, you know, look at that in the moment with Kelnick not running and say, hey, this has cost us an out. Now, what is the responsibility, you know, here as, you know, player to coach, coach to player, player to fans, all of those things. I mean, again, I don't want to monopolize all the time on this call on just this one thing, but I suffice it to say, have a lot of thoughts about it. And I just hated it pretty much for everyone involved. And obviously it got the fans into an uproar as well, and took an otherwise exciting weekend and kind of dampened it down with a lot of rhetoric and a lot of conversation about something that I feel like is completely and totally 100% avoidable.
I don't want to get into Snit's head because I don't know. But someone said to me, well, Dukes, what if Snit was really just trying to focus on the fact that, hell, we just won a series and we've been struggling. And you know what? I know that this is something that played out, but I'm trying to stay in this lane right here where I'm focused on this. And maybe that was the reasoning behind him not even saying anything to Kelnick or addressing it until the next day. And by the way, what is the relationship with Acuna and Snit? I mean, people want to take this to you know, in a direction that I don't think it's in. I think Acuna responded, but I don't think this affects their relationship. They've been together for a long time.
They have, but I mean, you know, sometimes, you know, familiarity breeds contempt.
Yes, is
one way to look at it. And look, when Ron, this is. And again, this is not the first time that this has happened. And there are so many more things to love about Ronald Acuna Jr.'s game than, you know, having these kinds of incidents. And they happened back in 2019. And look, Ronald Acuna Jr. was wrong then. He was wrong about 3 months later in the postseason when he had a similar incident happen. And you would have thought, this just happened in August. How did this happen again? And there have just been some other things. I mean, none of us are perfect. Let me just go ahead and throw that out there. And, you know, human beings are complex and we don't always get along. But I don't think that I've ever heard Brian Snitker be anything other than complimentary about Ronald as a player and as a person. And look, people are allowed to disagree, and you can still like both of those people. They just don't get along. I've got some of those relationships in my life, and they're not very interesting for the listener, but it happens. So I think that there's a conversation that can and probably will happen between the two where they will get back on solid ground. But I just, from one person to another, if you don't like something that I did or didn't do, then tell me, come to me directly. Doing it in social media, that was the misstep here, the misfire for him. And hopefully that's something that, you know, they're able to get over and push aside. I don't think it has to be, you know, the split of their relationship or right, you know, taking it to an extreme, I guess, to make a long story short.
I mean, we talked about and covered all the angles on it today, Grant. I mean, yeah, it's not, is it a federal case? No, in some cities, as you know, no. It would be, I mean, toxic, you know, on sports radio and columnists and pressing questions, as you said, until Ronald finally gets back on the field. But it just seems like maybe with Ronald, you know, it's 6 years later, and I've always felt, and I know you and I have debated this at times with Coral, does Snicker and does the team protect Ronald? You know, when Ronald has had teams come at him, and I know that, you know, sometimes maybe there was a disconnect, the perception with Freddie and Ronald over the way that, you know, the swag, which now a number of players around Major League Baseball carry themselves.
Sure. And there's nothing, look, it's a very nuanced discussion, one to which social media doesn't do us any favors, because right, then we end up firing off pieces and fragments of thoughts and, you know, reading in between the lines and providing our own context. And the next thing you know, you've gone down a narrative rabbit hole or three or four or five that just really aren't an accurate portrayal of the situation, the circumstances, or the people involved. So I honestly think that, again, to boil it down as much as I can, there's plenty of blame to go around in this situation. I mean, I will say credit to Jared Kelnick, because he's the guy that, from all of these situations, whether it was Ender Inciarte 7 or 8 years ago, or Ronald in 2019, or Marcel a couple of years ago, Kelnick's the one that showed up in the office and said, "Hey, man, I was wrong. That's all on me. I shouldn't have done that. I have to be better than that." And I'll give Jared Kelnick credit. He's not having a good season. He's had challenges throughout his big league career of becoming an established player. But in his time in an Atlanta Braves uniform, you watch him play. He hustles. He works hard. He's running. It's not a question of effort. That's not to say it is for any of those other guys, but when a lot of other things aren't going right and you're not, given you're blessed with the God-given talent of a Ronald Acuna or even a Marcelo Ozuna to have that kind of success, sometimes you have to control the controllables. And I feel like Kelnick's doing the best job he can with that. So, again, I don't want any of this to get out of context. No one is right in this conversation. Let me just say that. In this situation, there's plenty to go around, but it's something that I feel like everyone could come to the table and say, "Hey, cooler heads. We got bigger goals. Let's move on and win some games together."
Speaking of that, let's talk about tonight as the Cards come in. Schrellenbach on the hill. Tell me what you're thinking about the Cardinals as they come in here tonight.
Yeah, I mean, this is a club that I think comes into this season in a really weird place. I'm surprised that they didn't move some of the pieces that they could have over the course of the offseason. There's a lot of talk about Nolan Arenado, who has an ironclad no trade, and I don't think was interested in just going anywhere. And I think, that was a question for them. They could have unloaded a couple of their pitchers and maybe just started to rebuild. But, the Cardinals aren't really a team that does that. Historically, they just kind of reload, and they're typically pretty competitive, but it looks like it's going to be a challenging year for them. But it's no team that you need to be overlooking right now if you're the Braves. But this is a nice homestand with a couple of opponents that likewise are having some trouble this year and that chance to continue to get right. So the Braves just need Spencer Schwellenbach to be who he normally is. I know he had some probably command issues in Toronto and got in a little bit of trouble there, but if he's able to get back on his home mound, get comfortable, give the Braves a good start, maybe they can just keep that offense thing going. And that is a pretty good recipe for winning a baseball game. And the Braves could continue what has been thus far a very profitable homestand as far as wins and losses are concerned.
Yeah, we talked about it earlier, Grant. I know you mentioned Verdugo. I mean, can he sustain this? Because I know with the Yankees, he kind of cooled off at the end last year, right?
Yeah, he did. I mean, I feel like, new situation, change of scenery, all that kind of stuff, great opportunity, which I do feel like he's looking at this as to kind of get himself reestablished. And, it's a pretty nice team to join. And I know that obviously the start's not what they want, but there's a lot of baseball left to be played, and he can make an impact here. Now, we'll see what playing time looks like on the other side of Ronald Acuna Jr. coming back and getting installed in right field. But with Profar out for half the year, this is a nice little window for Verdugo to really do some things to kind of reestablish himself and to help out this team a lot. So I'm not going to tell you it's going to be four hits every night, because it certainly won't be, but I think he plays with a passion, a fire, and an edge, and it's nice to have one of those guys walk through the door maybe in a time in which you just need to up the energy some.
Great stuff, Grant. Appreciate you stopping
always,
by. Yeah, man, and we'll see where it goes. Hopefully we can continue to build on these dubs.
I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks again.
Yes, sir. You got it.